yes, and, because it's always somewhat on the other side as well. I reflected on the fact that the thing which brought me into this passage was the fact that I recognise whenever I talk to this audience and many others that there is one verse about discipleship which brings about a huge pushback, huge resistance. And I think it's a verse which I'd encourage you to actually meditate on. Lord, show me your love in this verse, okay? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as son. Now, I would bet my bottom dollar that most of us do not believe that. Or at least if we do, we believe it 10% and not the rest. What we would like to be true is that because the Lord cuddles everyone he loves. Yeah? We don't. The idea that we're being disciplined, that we're being shaped, is something that's difficult. Now, I'm not quite certain, otherwise I wouldn't raise it. But I was fascinated by a little piece of iconic imagery in the thing. Did you see the crosses? Mm-hmm. Yeah? I thought that was phenomenal. It was worthwhile getting the stills out. When they were carrying the fence posts. Mm-hmm. Yeah? They were carrying the crosses. I don't know. There is something about our lives that we have yet to embrace the cross. You know, that is what life is about. That seems to me to be key to what the message of Scripture is. And then the other thing that I picked up from it, particularly this time round, is the voice of God that comes to me when I pray. And he says, "Are you up for it? Are you up to it, lad?" Do you ever hear the voice of God in that way? Are you up for it? Because we get into our singing, we get into our praise meetings, we make all these outrageous assertions about what we will do, what we will go, where we will go, how we will respond. And the voice of God comes to us. Are you up for it, lad?
It's not just about being up for it, it's being up to it.
Well, do you know, I'm interested in this because I just want to come on to something and say we're never up to it. Yeah? You know, do you remember that little Japanese hand drawing graphic I showed a little while ago with the cross and the wind and the guy getting knocked to his knees? I think I put it up on one of the things, but I'll try and reference it again in some notes to this. But let's just have a look at the Bible, because it's something that you can reflect on for a lot. And here's Paul's prayer. I love it to read. There are only a couple of these prayers, but when I'm praying for people, and sure when you are as well, understanding what we should pray for one another is really hard work. What do I pray? Do I pray that, sort of the pressure comes off you? I want you to pray the pressure comes off me, but I'm not sure it's helpful if I pray that the pressure comes off you. And here's Paul praying for the Ephesians. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, I had forgotten that this little bit about how wide and long and high and deep was in the context of a prayer. Paul is actually praying that these guys, the Ephesians, and everybody, lots of people think that the Ephesians letter, although it went to a particular audience, was actually a general letter that went everywhere to everybody as well. And here it is, it's talking about something which I think is really fascinating. Here's a wordle of the text. Obviously, love is the thing that's key in there. Any thoughts about where the focus is apart from in love? I think the word may occurs just several times, but normally they pull out words like that. But what do you get out of that? Any thoughts?
I quite like the bit on the left. Christ surpasses knowledge. Just in a sentence.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. One of those fortuitous connections. Look, let me show you something. I was fascinated by how many words that are to do with measuring or to do with increase actually occur in the text. Yeah? Filled, long, wide, established, fullness, deep, high. This whole thing about knowing the love of Christ is a progressive issue. Okay? Here's a question for you, just to talk to one another about. How can we increasingly know the love of Christ in all its height and depth and what is long and wide and long and high and deep? How do we do that? How can that happen? Okay. How are you going to know more of the love of God? That wasn't a planned question, by the way, so I'm not sure whether I could answer it either.
Talk
to one another about it. Just see. I don't know what the right answers are to this, but I'd be interested to see what you think. Okay, what'd you get? Any thoughts? Guys, help us. How are we going to increasingly know the love of God? What did you come up with?
Practicing
the love of God. Sure, that's true. Anything else?
Increasing your knowledge.
I wonder how, you know, that we know that it doesn't mean doing a GCSE in the love of God, that it's about experiential knowledge, but how do we experience the love of God more?
You seek it, you pray, you read the Bible.
Yeah, so spiritual practices have got to be in there. Yeah.
We commented that sometimes the time when we've known God in different ways and different dimensions has been actually pretty rubbish times of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
which actually is it, and once again, just like we don't engage with this idea of discipline, we don't engage with the idea of the cross, we don't engage with the idea of suffering, because what comes to mind here is this really tough bit. That's all right. I think it means my daughter's now on Skype, so. Our grandchildren are waiting to talk to us, but that will have to wait till we get home. Yeah. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Yeah? That's tough, isn't it? Becoming like him in his death, and so somehow, and I'm fascinated by the fact he puts in somehow, I don't know how it's going to be, you know, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And Paul says, and this is really important about this growing thing, because he goes on to say, not that I've already obtained all this or have arrived at my goal. Just one more question, and then we're going to go into prayer. And that's this. The farming community we saw, okay, which isn't the sort of bucolic pastoral idea, you know, nymphs and shepherds come away, which is sort of stuck in people's minds in the background, sort of haymaking and cider and all that kind of thing. How do you cope with the fact that that is much, much closer to what Jesus would have thought of when he and the apostles would have thought of when they were talking about family relationships than is society today? You know, I'm, you know, this predates Ashley's factory. It was the factory, 1840 children working in factories. Come on, Charlie, you're the historian. Yes. Yeah. If it wasn't Ashley, it was the other one. But it predates that. It wasn't the fact that children were cosseted and seen as special people until they reached a particular age and then they went out to work. The involvement of the family together in economic survival was really important. You were in an environment there where the children didn't get the best food, the strawberry yogurts and the bananas or whatever. It was the father who got the food because he had to go out. So somehow we actually need to do some rethinking and not be so ethnocentric, stuck on our own view, putting ourselves at the centre of the world and assuming that everything was like that. Life was tough. Being a disciple of Jesus is tough. We can't take the tough life unless we're entering into the love of God. Yeah? Do you know, the one bit I could not laugh at in that, I was really interested, lots of you laughed, but that's fine. The bit where the kid fell over into the mud. Right? I don't know whether you've ever been in that position where you've done everything you possibly can to help and you've still ended up in the mud. And what I think I want to pray for now are people who feel like that. It's not whether they're up for it, but they're up to it. Whether they're up to it. And they're finding out they're not up to it. I've had a week this week where for 3 days I felt as though I really was not up to it. Nothing special, nothing very difficult. I just could not get a grip on what I was supposed to be doing. And it was miserable, 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 because I so wanted to. And under those circumstances, it becomes absolutely critical to know the love of God. So I want to tell you what I'm praying for you, and that is that you, being rooted and established, not in dayspring, not in doctrine, but in love, may have the power, the ability, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Tall order, but now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine, right? What's the most lovingest relationship that you can imagine with the Lord? Okay? Immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. Fantastically, wonderfully more is what is possible. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church. Okay? We don't normally finish in this way. This is how we're going to finish. Pray for one another, guys. And when you're done, we're done. And you can go in the power of God, not only to serve the Lord, but love him as well. Okay? Let's do that.